This is the Art of the Hudson Valley, broadcasting locally on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, Greene, and Columbia Counties, New York, and streaming globally online at WGXC.org. I'm your host, Chad Weckler, and on this program, my guest is Marina Abramović. She is a Serbian performance artist based in New York. Her work explores the relationship between performer and audience, the limits of the body, and the possibilities of the mind. Active for over three decades, Marina has been described as the grandmother of performance art. She pioneered a new notion of identity by bringing in the participation of observers, focusing on confronting pain, blood, and physical limits of the body. From March 14th to May 31st, 2010, the Museum of Modern Art held a major retrospective and performance recreation of Marina's work, the biggest exhibition of performance art in MoMA's history. During the run of the exhibition, Marina performed The Artist is Present, a 736 and 30-minute static silence piece in which she sat immobile in the museum's atrium, while spectators were invited to take turns sitting opposite her. From June 11th to August 24, 2014, she performed Marina Abramović, 512 Hours, at the Serpentine Gallery in London. In 2007, Marina Abramović purchased a building in Hudson, New York, to house her collection of performance art archives. Then she realized it would be the perfect location to bring together her more than 40 years of experience of creating performance art and continue her interaction with the public through the Marina Abramović method. In August 2012, she opened the doors to the Institute for an open house and presentation as to what the former 1929 movie theater would eventually become. The following year, there was a very successful Kickstarter campaign that raised over $661,000 by more than 4,700 contributors to help that process begin. She since has traveled the globe, sharing the Marina Abramović method to hundreds of thousands of people. In a sense, the Marina Abramović Institute, or MAI, has been a traveling exhibit and personal experience for both Marina and the worldwide public. The MAI building is a large building, more than 30,000 square feet in size. And many Hudsonians have been asking, when will we see a start of the transformation? The following interview I conducted at Marina's home this past Tuesday, and we talk about the Institute and more. Here is the interview. Thank you, Marina, for inviting me to your home here in Columbia County. I think we first met in August of 2012 at your open house at the Institute in Hudson, which was your first, was it your only open house?
Yes.
Was that exciting or?
You know, this was exciting and wonderful, and I didn't even know that I, after this, could not open my house anymore, because in the meantime, we discovered asbestos. And that's real, difficult, because asbestos has been there probably since the building was built. And nobody was taking care or notice. But once when I, I raised money from Kickstarters to pay the plans from architects. And when the architects have the plans and then, they start investigating the permissions for buildings and to see how much will cost the building, this whole institute. In the process, they found two things. They found asbestos and they found the sewage pipe under the building, who actually is from the city. And I didn't have no idea that exists, because we was looking for, there was some leakage and water and didn't want to come from. So we dig the holes in the basement and we found this huge pipe. And then I look back to my contracts. You know the contracts, how they're written. Sometimes they are very little letters, and with the language you don't understand, especially if you're an artist, I didn't even notice. And then I start looking the contracts again and find this little tiny, the notes under some paragraphs actually explaining that the owner, who build the building agree with the city in 1929 to have a sewage pipe going under the building. And in this contract with the city, the owner have to take care of sewage pipe, but the sewage pipe belongs to the city. So now I am stuck with asbestos on one side and on the sewage pipe who leaks. So that I was, you know, hoping that I will have some help from the city that could be, you know, the minimal cost, remove this sewage pipe from under the building and place somewhere else, because that could be really, you know, great help. And then, you know, and then is all this asbestos story. Asbestos story is so complicated because, you know, you ask different people to remove asbestos. Each of them have different prices. And then on the end, in the process, the prices are never fixed. You start doing it and they will find always something else and the price will go on and on. So now I'm in the process of, you know, finding the money to remove this asbestos. And only then I can open house again, because, you know, with asbestos now, as the that we know is there, which I didn't know before, it's impossible to enter.
What was the journey that brought you to Hudson and to that building, and why?
Oh, the journey is long time. It's such a long journey, and it's, you know, interesting to look backwards. But I, you know, I was born in ex-Yugoslavia, and I, in 1976, I moved to Holland, which I lived for like 36 years, and I have Dutch passport, Dutch nationality. And, you know, I was traveling and just doing my work, mostly internationally, everywhere, because Holland is such a small country. Once you made the three museum shows, there's nowhere to go. You have to get out. So I've been around. And, you know, I when I was, you know, in my 60s, just 58 or 7, you know, me and my husband decide that we should see how looks this America. Let's move to America. Mm. Actually, he wanted to move to America, not me. And I was so afraid because, you know, in this age, like, what you do there? Because even if I have a career in Europe, Americans are very particular. If you're not in the front of their eyes, you don't exist. Mm. I mean, if you look international news, you know more what's happening in Brooklyn than what's happening in Paris, London, Berlin, and some other places. So but you know, Europeans are very interesting what Americans think. Americans are interesting what the Americans think themselves. So it's kind of very difficult. So I was thinking, God, you know, coming here to America, you know, I have to start everything from the beginning, from zero. It was really difficult. And I sold my house in Amsterdam, and in those days, the euro was extremely high and the dollar was very low. So for that, the amount of money I had, I wanted to invest in real estate. So I first found a house in Malden Bridge, where I'm very happy, which we are doing interview right now from it. And I was looking for storage for my work, you know, because if you have storage in New York, it's so expensive, looking for something local. Plus, you know, if you live in New York, you have to get out of it. This is the city who can use you. You have to kind of find a way that you just go to nature, at least the weekends, run away, and then you can have new energy and come back. So I, my gallerist, Sean Kelly, who was also looking for the space around here, he said to me, just take one weekend and look around. So we look around, and first they found this house in Malden Bridge, and then a year later, there was this huge space in Hudson on sale. And I look and I say, okay, I mean, this is more than storage space. So when I bought it, I say, no, this can't be storage. There have to be really something more to do with my legacy, with my old dream to create institute for, you know, immaterial forms of art. So then I say, okay, I know it's complicated. I know it will take years because it's really a difficult task, but I'm going to try. And then I'm really happy because for me, the Hudson and Malden Bridge and all this community, since I arrived here, so now it's almost 10 years, is developing so wonderfully and changing as we speak. I mean, every day I will come to Hudson, there will be a new shop or new restaurant or new people, young, will come and be happy. The presence of Basilica has been so wonderful because this whole new young scene with music and theater and film came in. So that's a great place to start something new. And which is great about Hudson, it's not far from New York at all. It's 2 hours with the train or the plane, which is nothing. And plus, you are in a completely different environment. which really have lots of history and beauty, especially related to nature.
I like on your website where you show the distance between Boston and Hudson and New York City and Mocha and Dia. We are perfectly situated.
It's the Clark Museum too. You know, it's incredible because if we talk about upstate, you're really in the center of cultural scene here. And in no time, you can have connection to so many varieties of museums. I mean, right now, if you go to Clark Museum, you had a wonderful show, Van Gogh. You go to the Mass Mocha, and a part of the program, you know, the cultural program, you have this, the great installation of Solovit. You just have the new Amstel Kiefer. I mean, so much to see. Then you go to Bart, then you go, you know, to Boston. I mean, that's the kind of center of things are happening. And I really don't believe that. You know, always people think the capitals are the center. I don't believe New York is that center. We are New York, you get tired. What's happening in New York? You have so many opportunities, so many things at the same time that on the end, you don't go anywhere. You just sit home because you're too tired of making choices. Yeah. Here, you make one choice and you have this journey. You go for a half a day to Clark Museum and have wonderful, you know, lunch in a Meze restaurant and then come back, or you go to Hudson and spend day there. You know, that's the journeys are different. There's more pleasure. There is no rush. You spend time with the things you like.
Would you say what happened in 2012, and this is 3 years later, has your vision, whether it's architectural or what's taking place inside, has that changed or altered?
Oh, it's very much changed and altered. And, you know, I learned so much from my mistakes, and I learned so much from my, you know, the experiences we're gaining as we speak. You know, I had this, you know, in a way, you know, I think artists have this huge ambition, and sometimes the grandomanie, it's the kind of disease that I always want to see something huge and big, which actually I could not make it. And I was facing these limitations very soon, because once architects give me the plan,
the plan, yeah,
and they told me how much it cost, I knew it was impossible. I could not make it. I that amount of money with my entire lifetime, I you know, my work is sold, but not the way it's you know, I do performances. It's very different to market than if you do sculptures, paintings, and other artists with the same success like I have. So I knew that was a limit. And I was so desperate that I was start actually creating the ideas for the institute everywhere I was going. And I find out in the process the interest is enormous, and it's the because of, you know, my restrictions of asbestos to move and to find the money to move it from Hudson, I found that institute is functioning everywhere else. In Serpentine, you know, 3 months, 150,000 people. In Brazil, 2 months, 180,000. In Sydney, in Australia, in 12 days, 32,000 people. So they are serious numbers of people and participants. So now I'm kind of learning by doing it in a different countries what I can bring to Hudson in much more simple and humble way, but still very functional and very international. And that's the process I've been through.
Do you still want it to be the archive for performance art?
I see the Hudson building very different right now. I first have to look into the limitations, the budget limitations. And I have to find out, apart from removing the asbestos, to make this building functional in as simple way as possible. And that really the program is what actually carry the idea, which is more important than beauty of the architecture. This I have to sacrifice. And, you know, I mean, just look example Basilica. I mean, they really create these wonderful bathrooms and they clean the space, but they didn't put the heating there. They didn't put air conditioning. In the winter, the water comes, the huts will just float the floor, but they don't care. Nothing interrupt them on making wonderful work. So when the conditions are good, which is a few months in a year, they're doing great. So I don't have Hudson floating my floor. And my building is in very good state because actually it's a concrete covered with the bricks. There's no one crack in the building. So by creating infrastructure in a very simple way, I actually can function. And this is what I'm intending to do. So that's going to be really house for the the archives, you know, the, my very large archive on the performance art, which I have myself, which I'm going to give it to Hudson. And this, that, so that the artists from everywhere or anybody wanted to study can go and have the material, on, you know, in research. On there to be available, but I also interested in artists in residency. I would like that artists came to Hudson and created, you know, the ideas and then show them in the form of the performance festival. The, you know, talking about immaterial forms of art can be films just who are absolutely focused on the on long durational, can be theater pieces, the wonderful dance, the concerts. So the, all this can take place in so much more simple way than I, you know, 3 years ago wanted to do. So I am downsizing in the grandomany of the architecture, but actually I'm getting richer in the program.
Would it be in the beginning seasonal then?
Yeah, I think that, you know, how the Hudson function it looks like, it's really that we will really use the summer when everybody's around and the people around and coming from everywhere. And this also is will be the cheapest because of the heating and stuff like that. So that could be the first. But the second, I would like to find the form. I would like from the city to have a building that actually I can accommodate at least 12 artists at a time, because it's not so complicated to get the grants from different countries in Europe and also in America for the studying of performance art in the, you know, and to have courses so they can be during the year and the artists can prepare the work we can show during the seasonal, you know, time. So that's really one thing. And plus, you know, I am planning, that's something that now will take some time because it's complicated to organize, but I wanted to do workshop with the entire city, Hudson. The same way, if I can do workshop in 12 days with 32,000 people, you know, Hudson is 8,000 people. That's not a big number. I actually can do this workshop, which I want to do for free for Hudson. So in that, I have to remove asbestos because I can't get into the building. You know, I can't put people in the building into this danger. But it's really my final, you know, the decision to do that workshop. This will be the best way, in a very practical way, how the people in Hudson to understand that concept and how can actually, by doing it, could change certain way of their looking their own life and the, any kind of, you know, the work they do. It's not any the work of this Abramovich method which I create. It's not just about, you know, the art scene. It's went far away from the art scene. It's about anybody, for any professional, from the teacher, farmer, student, the kid, worker in the factory, or politician, can actually benefit from this because you give them kind of system that could really understand their own, you know, purpose in this planet, the way of life, and so on. So if Hudson people can understand that, they actually can protect that institute by actually being part of it. Because, you know, I've been studied for so many times. I study very much the different societies, you know, the spiritual, you know, political or whatever kind, you know, from the Bauhaus till I don't know, Shakers. I mean, why one thing develop and why the things actually fall apart? That's very interesting to me, and I always think that it's always kind of turn around individuals. And then individual got sick or leave or die and everything fall apart. But to me, we have to learn from mistakes. If my system can work for everybody else in Hudson, then the Hudson is have to take care of this, not me anymore. And that's how they can have a much longer life. And that's the way of transition. So that's one of the really my dream to do, is to make workshop with the entire city.
It seems like the institutes working with art, culture and science.
Yeah.
You've really incorporated science and the study of the brain and behavioral, which is different for every culture, and bringing them together and making it aware to more people.
But this is future, you know. We can't have isolated art from technology or technology from science and science from spirituality in so many ways. Everything is interconnected and we have to see connections and we have to see how this new world is going to look like. I mean, science fiction of 70s is reality today. That's so true. And if you see, now we are facing some unbelievable dangers, I think, like in the technology, working on this, these 3D glasses. Oculus.
Virtual reality.
Yeah, it's called Oculus Rift. That's new technology, which actually, if you use in a medicine, or you can use in with the purpose, you know, to bring something good to the human being, is fine. But you can also destroy human being with this, because basically what you see virtually is the brain believe that's true, and that they say the prognosis that in next 50 years, something like half of the human beings on this planet going to live in virtual reality, which is, I think, horror. So that's the kind of thing that we have to have time to understand what is benefits and what is not benefit. It's not a problem technology per se, it's a problem how we are using technology, our approach to technology. So we have to kind of understand, you know, who are we, what is our center in our in ourselves, and how we can take actually that technology doesn't rule us, but we rule technology.
I took the virtual tour. Mr. Pippin did.
Oh yes, yeah, the
which was wonderful. And one of the things I took away from that, and you've talked about it before, and was part of your MoMA experience.
Yeah.
What you feel when your eyes are wide open, and you have eye contact, and then there's the closing of the eyes to bring a different experience. How would you explain those two experiences? And
is eyes closed or eyes open? Is one thing is important? What's happening with brain? Brain actually subconsciously sends so many messages in the terms of vibrations and literally waves, you know, brain waves to the person who we are looking or sitting in the front of you, and we have to find the new technology how to translate that. But in a non-verbal communication, you communicate more than you communicate in any conversation you ever made in your life. And that's incredible. So that is why people get so incredibly emotional, why they get, because they start getting in touch with a part of themselves. They never get in touch. Because we are afraid to actually learn about ourselves. We try everything to avoid it. You're avoiding it, but, you know, looking off telephone every 5 minutes, looking television, talking to the people, going to the movies, conversations. But when we are just sitting with closed eyes and doing nothing, and just kind of seeing what is inside, we are constantly want to be entertained from outside. But all thing about institute and the systems we are developing, like a simple counting the rise or slow motion walking, or, you know, looking each other eyes, or lying down with closed eyes, it's exactly to actually facilitate that channels, that to give us possibility to, you know, see ourselves as we are. And that's simple in many ways, but at the same time, we are never doing it. Why people eat junk food if they know this is bad for them, and they don't eat this wonderful fresh food which is available? It's so strange how the human brain works. So we have to kind of, put ourselves in a different track.
It seems also that teaching and learning, and to do the duration, you need to train. And that's mental, and that's also physical. And I think everybody needs that. How to live longer, how to live better longer.
This is why it's my dream that to make this workshop with Hudson. And I want, you see, with the Hudson, but not just a certain amount of people, but everybody. I wanted to really work with the kids. Anybody from age 12 on, it's actually, it's for me the target to see how we can unite community. I mean, just the reason when last summer I was 3 months in London in Serpentine Gallery, and this was mind-blowing thing, because I didn't even know this was going to work. I people want me to do a show in the museum. I completely empty museum. I said, there's no work. The people are the work. The people are what they bring themselves. That's the work. And I create this energy platforms with just the pieces of wood with, 7 inch away from the floor, nothing. And when they come into the space, they leave the telephone, the computer in the lockers, they put headphones to block the sound, and they step on this platform. And everything changed. On that platform, I had hundreds of people that will never put them together in real life. You know, from Bangladeshi housewives to the science fiction writer, to the every different culture, different social groups, different races, different religions. And they're all there with the same kind of aim to create that energetic connection between them and with themselves. And when this happened, it's so moving, it's so incredibly satisfying, because people will just first come from curiosity, and they will come back, and they will come on and on and on and become community. You create new community, and this is one thing that I hope to create in Matsu with this. And I've been, you know, right now, as I did not do the project, I went everywhere else around the world, and now the circle is getting smaller and smaller. So the target is finally to come back to this building and do it there and see with all experience I collect from other places.
Do you think you have a rough schedule of construction and restoration and doing the seasonal programs and then moving on to hopefully full-fledged?
What I was thinking to do right now, I was thinking only to remove asbestos, to just create a simple structure with the bathrooms, and that's it. I don't do anything for the moment. I want to do the workshop, because I think that the benefit of the workshop will be make me available, will give me the space and the hope that I will get enough grants to continue to construct what I want to construct. But I think workshop is essential, because that will create the bridge between the, you know, finalizing the building and also to the community, to understand that actually they are the one they want to, they have to want it, you know, and they have to help me. And that's the way to do it. I have to give to them something so special that they can fight for, you know. It's a long time ago. It's 2000, so it's now 15 years ago. I was invited for this, is a triennale in Japan. And it was a very special triennale, because they invite 12 artists. And we went to the very rural area of Japan, which is just a really very poor area where the workers just making the rice, you know, they cultivate rice, and the extreme temperature, very hot in the summer, very cold in the winter, and the rice is delicious because of the extreme temperature. And they wanted to kind of, attract more culture and more, you know, the public in this area. So they ask us to go to the village and to tell the workers and the people who live there about ideas we have as artists. And they village have to actually choose what they like to realize. And I remember that I look all these villages and I choose just one where 36 people. And this, I went there to talk to them and I say, if you have old house, we can reconstruct. And we can make a dream hotel. I mean, dream house. Basically, they only had the four rooms. It was really small. And they said, we can create dream house. The people come from all over the world to dream the dreams, because the dreams are something so special, and we forgot them. We don't dream dreams anymore because we are drunk, or we take drugs, or the sleeping pills, or we television on to fall asleep, or we have insomnia, whatever. But the dreams are really important, so let's take them to the... They understood that. They made a house for me. We created these four rooms, and the visitors of that... Of the dream hotel, it was exactly these 36 people, all of them, child, the wife, old woman, everything. They all slept, by groups of four, and they understood. And when the Biennale was only during the summer, 2 months, when the show was, finished, the community came to the organizers and asked if this work can stay. Now, 15 years later, this belongs to them, this dream hotel. This is in every tourist guide. They're making the dinner and the breakfast for the dreamers. There is a waiting list, because it's only four tanks. We made the book in Japanese and English, just published last year, and it's functioning. So that's the thing, that the community took it over. And it was not, if I go there now, I'm the guest of the dream house, but it belonged to them, not to me. This is exactly what I would like to in the Hudson. It's not my thing. Anyway, I donate the building to the to foundation. It's not profit. It's not mine anyway. But I wanted that actually community take over. But to take the community over, I have to understand the community have to understand benefits of that. And to understand benefit, they have to physically participate in this experiment, which I wanted to do.
And that was probably the reason why you did the Kickstarter program.
To see, Kickstarter was really important to see temperature, if the people want something. And they want, that was clear. Except that I absolutely didn't know that after Kickstarter and I pay everything, was this huge problem to build. Mm. And we came, it was something between 29 million to 31 million to build it. But this is magnificent construction. We have to downsize it. That's the story.
But you were able to repair the roof.
The roof I repaired before Kickstarter on my own money. I put so much on my own money to this. I repaired roof with $150,000 before Kickstarter even started. So the roof, so there's no leakage in the space, and it's protected. And now we have the water in the sewage pipe and the
Asbestos. That seems to be the two biggest
problems right now. And you know, these two big problems, if I have to remove this pipe under the building on my own, it's a huge. So this is something we have to discuss with the city, and asbestos I have to do myself. So that's the two things. And then after this, I wanted to make this workshop. That's all I wanted to do.
Do you think that might happen next year?
To me, yes, because that's what I am, aiming for. Because now I've been also, the next year I reduce lots of shows right now. Because I've been gone forever. I've just been working. Since January till now, I've been in my own bed two nights. That's crazy. And I need to really concentrate more of here.
You spoke about the energy here in the country and the energy in New York City. Those are two locations here in the United States. Where are your most favorite places in Europe or the world?
You know, it's so funny that I don't have this per se, these kind of places, because I travel all the time and I don't like to coming back to the same place. I'm always interested. You know, I'm interested as for me the studio is entire planet, and every space has some specifics. You know, I've been the last 4 years a lot in Brazil because I'm just finishing the film called The Bridge, on the shamanism of Brazil, which really it was, to learn about old ways how to work with nature and work with energies, which is the ancient ways that if we don't have transmission from the older people, we will lose it. So I was interested in that. And then before was India. We got to India a lot. And then before India was, I went so many times to Australian desert, and the deserts was very interesting for me. The deserts, which was nothing to see, just the sand, and it's like I always make this fun saying, Muhammad went to desert, Buddha went to desert, Jesus went to desert, Moses went to desert. All of them went as a nobody and come back as a somebody. Must be something in the desert, and that because of the emptiness, it's all what you left in the desert is your own mind. But you learn so much. So I go to these places. I call them places of power. And the people who have the power, who have that kind of energetic connection. And I learn from them. And I'm moving always to different areas where I have to learn more. And I'm always constantly being a constant student to learn.
Is there a common thread amongst all those?
Yes. We are, everything, we are talking different languages, we have different names for different gods, but it's all about the same. Mm-hmm. It's all about the same, and it's so simple. We have to learn one of the most important thing that we have to learn as being humans is unconditional love to everything we do. That's the main thing.
What is unconditional?
That is not love for the purpose or to benefit something. It's love, is the love for the, small worm in the ground as much as a flower on your table or sunrise. We are in such an incredible privilege to be on this such a beautiful planet like Earth. We are not doing so good about it. But it's like, that moment when you wake up and you see, look at this, where I'm sitting right now. It's pure paradise, and we take it for granted. That's the thing. We have to live every day as is last.
And I think you're asking for people to take a responsibility.
It also, because I think the very important thing to understand is who are you, and what is your function on this planet? It's not that you're just here to kind of lose time. We have to have have responsibility, and we have to contribute to society, and we have to really understand community, how it works and how it functions, and not to be selfish. That's the very important part. To me, it took me so long time to work as an individual, as an artist. And right now, my entire work is how to, everything I know, transmit to community. That's the, I think, very important purpose. When you come to a certain age, you have to transmit your knowledge to others. And then you can go. And to know when to go. I'm busy with dying every single day. I always think of dying, because every day can be the last. But you have really be ready. And then to leave something. You know, the only thing you can leave behind you is not material goods. It's not the money in the bank. I don't care. It's a good idea. Because good idea have many, many lives. That's the end. That's the end.
But it does sound like everything that you do, whether it's the method of counting rice or sitting across from somebody, learning to walk, learning to appreciate the drinking of water, you're asking and you're sharing. You're in that same commitment of taking responsibility of learning who you are.
Because it's growing. Wait, but this was a great end, by the way. We are now cutting up the end. Wait, voila! No, I have to bring you something to show you. Wait,
okay.
Let me see. It's also good. Let me just see the what I want to show you. Okay. So that I talk about this platform. I just want to show you one image. Where is the image? Like this, you know? Like this kid. He will come every single day, and he's 12 years old. And he will come every single day after the school and just stand on this platform. And I ask him, but why you are doing this? And he say, you know, it's very important to me. When I'm very messy, I go home, and I have to do the new things for school, and the parents always, you know, the kind of, you know, after me. And since I'm here, I come from the school, I go into my room, I stand in the middle of my room, I close my eyes for a while, and then after, everything is okay. Mm. And then look at this. This is what I'm talking about. This is three generations. Look, nothing I give to them. They're standing on the platform there's nothing coming from the headphones. It's a silence. What air, they're inside themselves. This is what I want to give to Hudson. That is the part.
And they're holding hands.
And they're holding hands. And there are hundreds of this. I have so many images with the blindfolds, with the hands. You know, they have something there. Something is happening on the level that, you know, that people don't understand till they experience them, you know? So that's the one thing that, for me, why everything is working now. It's working in a very strong way, you know? I mean, look at this one. Look at this one. You know, different people from different countries, different world, different. You know. Hmm.
Are you asking them to verbally or write their experience of what they?
No,
were?
They can write the experience, but you know, this is optional, and they have millions of experiences they wrote. I mean, there is lots of, you know, the website.
Is this at the Serpentine?
This is Serpentine, but I mean now, let me. Let's, you know, this is happening. This is the, it's just, something's happening there. Hundreds of people, you know, and the need of that right now, it's so important. People are disconnected. Mm. So I am not, people are tired to look at something. People want to be part of something, and that's what I'm giving them.
And this would be potentially the workshop that you would hold inside the building.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I now, you know, try so many places, so I now am very confident that we can change the world. I was not confident before. But let me see if, let's go the other place. Okay. I want to see, just to see a little bit of this material that we are just editing. Oh, God. Let's go to the bar. Okay. Alessia, is Marcos there?
I think I saw
you go out. Yeah, okay. So that's my working place anyway. I'm working there.
Hi there.
Hello.
I was just doing an interview with Marina.
How are you?
I'm Chad.
Marco.
Marco.
We was doing this.
I like your phone. Your microphone.
It's very small.
No, what I was thinking to show me, but I know it's in the middle of editing, but just because you have to work.
What do you want to show?
You know what I was thinking? Just the what we was looking today from the Sesky, just this part, the beginning. You know,
Terra Comunal or the you with everything empty or with people?
No, we with people. Just okay. To see the part from the Brazil. Just to see. Sit somewhere.
Boy, I would.
Do you want to show the video we made for Sesky? The one is finished.
But you mean the one
that
just
we saw in YouTube?
This
one. Do you think it's better?
Yeah. No, I was thinking that one. Yeah. Exactly. Not edited.
Okay.
So let me show you that you can sit here. So that's what we are doing all day long. We are here.
Make yourself at home.
So just this part. But we don't show all, just the part, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's also, you know, I create performances from young Brazilian artists and many other things. But this is the last. Actually, after this, I have Australia. I don't have it here. But this film is Brazil, so after...
This exhibition is Sesic. It's different than any other exhibition I've ever done in my life. This is not a museum, first of all. Other museums in the world is pretty empty spaces. It's not that kind of vibrant life like here. Here, with art, without art, is always public, which is incredible, and it's so democratic, and there's something so human. The people come to read newspapers, they come to see art, they come to meet each other, the children running around. There is a life. To me, it's incredibly pleasant to work with this kind of public because it comes from every different cultural backgrounds and just a great mix. The performance is a great tool for so many different things, and the people didn't realize that. I didn't realize till I started working with the public more direct way. Abramovich method is the series of exercises I developed through my 40 years of career, which I really think can work for the large audience, which work for me, and I think they can work for them. The first thing they have to confront to put their, you know, belongings there, which is so important. The telephone become like a part of our body extension, and the watches and computers, so they're free of that kind of a reminder of time. Talk about instructions. It's kind of a very important thing. You know, my first instructions in my life was given by my mother, this kind of military instructions. And I didn't realize that how slowly I applied these instructions into my early work. So for me, it was really interesting to create this kind of discipline, restrictions for the Brazilian public that they actually can have experience if they give me precise time.
Hello. Welcome to the Abramovich method. The method will allow you to focus internally and to find the stillness and quiet that we are often missing.
and then actually go through this transition before you go to the method. You can get more conscious about your breathing, about your body positions, about movement. You can just relax.
Like it.
I went through so many different retreats and we confronted different indigenous cultures, learning about the body, learning about my mind, the limits of body and mind, and how we can use the body in different ways. Shake out any negativity or stuck energy that you have in the body. Stop. I have designed a series of transitory objects for human use made of wood and crystals. What I'm trying to learn the people is to give them back their own time and to learn them about simplicity. Headphones actually give them silence, and the idea of that silence is very important for this piece.
So 86 crates of this is coming now to Hudson. I can place all this in Hudson.
Fantastic.
All these crystals.
They're beautiful.
They've been all produced in Brazil.
That's beautiful.
Doing nothing in our civilization is a kind of taboo. But doing nothing is the beginning of everything. We need to learn to do nothing in order to get to this deep reflection. Because by doing constantly something, we never can perceive the world around us. By taking technology away from the experience, something miraculously happened. We were actually getting free time. It's just to go inside deeper in yourself. When I started doing this method, to me it was really important what materials things are made.
In nature, always something is born, something die. But the crystals are growing endlessly. So it's an incredible life material.
This combination with the human body and spending a long period of time with this kind of materials, create a certain state of consciousness. You have to surrender. And when you really surrender, then you forgot about time, you forgot about other people around you, you forgot about everything else, especially about your own self and judgment, like how you've been seen or not been seen, or do I'm sitting in the right position, or how I look. All these things have to drop away. To me, the best possible way would be that the public come first here, and then they prepare themselves to see the long durational performances, to see the other side of the exhibition, because your state of mind is different. If you come with your own language or the busy city and you go straight to the exhibition or straight to the performance, it is very, very different if you go through this first and then you see the work.
Yeah, okay. And then we have 8 performance artists, and then we made a huge exhibition,
Lindsay Peisinger, Paola Grazia, and myself.
So that's another
performance event with the Brazilian.
But anyway, we have tons of stuff, because this is conditioning public, and then they go to see long-durational work, from everything we curate.
How long were all these participants at that?
2 months, 8 hours a day for 2 months, every hour.
But each session took 2 hours.
Okay.
The whole four exercises, plus the introducing 2.5 hours.
You mean the public, yes. But then the public is free to see other artists performing. And other artists who we curate perform 8 hours a day, every single day, 2 months, which is crazy. Mm. And we actually made a workshop for them to prepare them to do that. So it's such a huge system. Work like hell, to understand all that.
You're growing and improving a large community base around the world.
This is the idea. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. And then coming finally to Hudson, I come with so much experience that 8,000 people is like nothing.
Yes.
next to these huge masses, which we've been doing.
And about 78,000 between Greene and Columbia County.
Yeah.
And the people who would come from other areas.
78. We are fine. We had 150,000. We have 180,000. We are fine with 78,000. No, I want to say, and now all this was produced in Brazil. We are literally shipping. It takes 2 months to get here. We're shipping. So I have to make this place. I put it here in the storage because I have to create some security for the Hudson, asbestos, wound the pipe, to make all these pieces there.
Marco, were you there in Brazil?
Yeah, he's Brazilian. He came from Brazil. My choice was, or I have to go to Brazil to finish this film, or he come here. So
it was better. It's the best option to come here.
So, you know, so we have to continue to work. But you have everything. You have.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much, Marina.
Because now is, that's what we have.
Good job, Marco.
Thank you.
I love it.
That was live with Marina Abramović at her location in Columbia County. It was a wonderful experience. I think we've learned a little bit. I just wanted to summarize because as a listener, you may not visualize where I am. So I was at Marina's home on a porch, lovely porch. You might be able to have heard the cicadas that were in the background. She briefly, after about half an hour, briefly went outside to get a laptop to show me the Serpentine Gallery images of some of the people who were there to experience. And from what I understand, the participants, if you went to that gallery, you weren't tied to any particular time to wear the headphones and be a part of the experience. So that was a little bit different. And then we walked. She has an outdoor studio where Marco was doing his editing. Marco is the director, the camera person, the editor. He's done the whole thing. It's a beautiful documentary that we heard a little bit about. And we've heard some news which I did not know about, and that is the building here in Hudson and what the plans were, which I think most of us knew what they were and how that is progressing. And I think Marina is making a very smart move. She loves the Basilica platform, which is take a beautiful building, make it clean, make it sound, as she said, put in some beautiful bathrooms and make it available primarily from spring, summer, early fall, and then nothing really during the winter program. So it is her intention that I understand that starting next year, she will start doing her workshops here in Hudson, and she wants to do these free to the Hudson residents, which I think is really wonderful. I certainly will be participating in that. And from what I got from visiting her, she is very tied to Hudson, very tied to the building here, and continuing her legacy, the Marina Abramović method. And you can certainly go online and see many ways that it is done. She's been experimenting. She's going around the world and see if people are receptive of this performance art, this participatory experience. It's as much interesting for her and tied by her into it as it is for those who participate. And I think it potentially has a very inwardly, outwardly positive event that, as she so much has said in the interview, wants to connect the community of Hudson, because we are a diverse community. We're going through growing spurts where some people are doing well, some people are not, some people are stagnant and would like to do better and do more. There's certainly an influx of more and more people who want to be here because they have the same feeling that Marina and I share and many other people here, and that there's a creative, friendly grounding here in Hudson, and it's... So far, it's not stopping, and it's up to us. As she said, we have to take responsibility. We cannot wait. We must participate, all of us, in getting to know each other, our differences, and making not only Hudson, but our lives better. We have just about a minute left. I thought I'd come into the studio and finish things up. One of the things I also liked, and you didn't see the Brazilian pieces of wood and crystals, they are quite amazing. Crystals are quite large. Some of them are embedded in the wood, and they're all coming to Hudson. So we're all going to experience those together along with her method. So in closing, well, this has been another episode of The Art of the Hudson Valley, and it airs the first Thursday of every month at 2 p.m. And archives of past episodes along with this episode can be found at www.wgxc.org. Just by typing in the upper right-hand search box, you can type in The Art of the Hudson Valley or any other program or person you would like to listen to. And I'm your host, Chad Weckler. I'll see you in another month. Thank you for listening.